This is a Kim Monson, Colorado news briefing. House Bill 251272 opened a condominium incentive program after Colorado construction fell 76%. Colorado condominium development ranked 76% below its 2002 through 2008 level, and active developers on the Front Range fell from 146 in 2007 to 23 in 2022. The Multifamily Construction Incentive Program, created by House Bill 251272, opened to builders on January 1, 2026, and its effect is still unmeasured. Colorado condominium development ran 76% below its 2002 through 2008 level across the years from 2018 to 2022, and the count of active condominium developers on the Front Range fell from 146 in 2007 to 23 in 2022. Those figures come from a September 2023 report by the Common Sense Institute, a free market research organization that publishes economic analysis in Colorado and several other states, and the General Assembly wrote a version of the same finding into law in 2025. House Bill 251272 created the Multifamily Construction Incentive Program, which opened to builders on January 1, 2026, and trades warranties and third-party inspections for a narrower path to litigation. The construction defect liability regime that builders blame for the shortfall was assembled across four legislative sessions between 2001 and 2010. Karen Louvine, a realtor with RE/MAX Alliance, told listeners of The Kim Monson Show on Friday that the reason the entry-level unit is missing is written into state law. And yet, because of our legislation over a decade ago, the building of condominiums basically barely exists in our marketplace, which means that small home that Joe wants isn't available because we're not building it, Louvine said. Whether builders are using the new program is a question the public record cannot yet answer. No government agency publishes a Colorado condominium construction series. The Census Bureau's building permit survey counts units authorized by the size of the structure holding them, because a permit records how a building is framed and leaves the form of ownership to be settled elsewhere. The closest federal read comes from the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development's Office of Policy Development and Research, whose comprehensive housing market analysis of the Denver area, current as of September 1, 2023, estimated condominium shares of for-sale construction going back to 2010. Across the nine suburban counties ringing Denver, HUD found condominiums accounted for approximately 3% of for-sale construction since 2010, calling the segment a minimal part of construction in the submarket, and attributing some of the pattern to a ready supply of developable land. Inside the city and county of Denver, the share moved the other way, rising from about 5% between 2010 and 2015 to nearly 14% between 2016 and 2021. HUD credits that increase to high-priced luxury units and to income and deed-restricted product, and in the same passage describes production of mid-market condominiums over those years as extremely limited. The segment that thinned out is the one a first-time buyer could actually reach. The most quoted number in the debate carries the legislature's own endorsement. In the legislative declaration of House Bill 251272, language that appears in the 2025 session laws, outside the codified Colorado revised statutes, the General Assembly found that, before 2009, there were 1.25 new apartments for every one condominium, a figure that has shifted radically to 14 new apartments for every condominium in recent years, and that the decline coincides with a housing shortfall of at least 100,000 homes in the state. The same figures appear in the Common Sense Institute report, which built its counts from data licensed from Zonda, a private housing analytics firm, and covered 11 Front Range counties. A ratio of that kind moves with apartment building as much as with condominium building, and the report's straight count is the plainer measure. Condominium development across those counties between 2018 and 2022 ran 76% below its 2002 through 2008 level. The same report counted 146 active condominium developers at work in 2007 and 23 in 2022. The shortfall reaches the buyer as price and weight. In its June 2026 Market Trends Report, the Colorado Association of Realtors counted 17,432 active listings across the seven-county Denver metro area at the end of the month, down 18.6% from a year earlier, of which 12,088 were single-family homes. The attached segment, condominiums and townhomes together, carried 6.2 months of inventory and took an average of 55 days to sell, with a median sale price of $395,000 down 1.3% year-over-year and roughly 10% below the segment's 2022 peak. Buyers in that segment are weighing the full monthly cost of ownership, including mortgage payments, HOA dues, insurance, taxes, and maintenance, Denver County area realtor Cooper Thayer wrote in the association's report. Financing has moved against them over the past 5 months. Freddie Mac's primary mortgage market survey put the 30-year fixed-rate mortgage at an average of 6.58% for the week of July 23, 2026, up from 6.55% a week earlier. Behind that sits the bond market that lenders watch when they price a loan. The 10-year Treasury yield closed at 3.97% on February 27, 2026, and at 4.71% on July 23rd, according to the U.S. Department of the Treasury's daily yield curve. Levine expects that pressure to show up in prices. Asked on the show where the Denver market is headed, she said she anticipates seeing more consistent depreciation across the board over the next 12 months, which she attributed to higher interest rates, inflation, all the things that Lauren talked about earlier in the hour. In her reading, that combination is putting downward pressure on values. She has been telling sellers to price competitively and to bring homes to market in move-in condition. Levine described a first-time buyer who had asked her what she could do to make housing more affordable, and the answer she gave on the air was that an agent's levers are narrow ones. "I can find opportunity," she said. "I can find sellers that are more motivated, who are willing to price their homes more competitively, which then creates more affordability. The supply side is where she would rather see the problem solved. The reality is, I would like us to see more of those things being built because that creates more affordability," Levine said. House Bill 251272 carries the short title Colorado American Dream Act in its own text, drew a long bipartisan sponsor list, and was signed by Governor Jared Polis. It creates the Multifamily Construction Incentive Program, which opened to builders on January 1, 2026. A builder of attached housing of two or more units may participate by providing a warranty at no cost to the homeowner, covering at least 1 year of workmanship and materials, 2 years of plumbing, electrical and materials, and 6 years of major structural components, by having a third-party inspection performed, and by recording a notice of election in the county real property records before the unit is offered for sale. What the builder receives in return applies to claims on participating projects. A program claim requires a certificate of review to be filed with the complaint in an action against an architect or engineer, runs against narrowed grounds for damages, and obliges the construction professional to settle or explain the refusal. Before filing, the claimant must mitigate the damage the alleged defect caused and certify that mitigation in the complaint, and the limitations clock stops for as long as a year while that work goes on. A professional who makes a reasonable offer of settlement can be immune from liability, though only as to the portion of the damages the professional proves was caused by something other than the defect, and attorney fees shift in both directions, to the professional when a claimant unreasonably rejects a reasonable offer, and to the claimant when the professional fails to make one. The filing deadline tightens as well, where the program warranty was given, or where the defendant is an architect or engineer who met the ordinary standard of the profession. A program claim must be brought within 6 years of substantial completion, a hard 6 years against a general rule of six that can stretch to eight. The official as enacted summary of the bill lists that duty to mitigate among the changes reaching all construction defect claims, while the enacted text confines it to program claims, a discrepancy a later General Assembly may have to settle. Three changes do reach every construction defect claim in the state. an insurer may not cancel, deny, or reduce coverage because a construction professional offered to repair or to settle, although any settlement or repair agreement that affects coverage remains subject to the insurer's approval. An association that wins must put the net damages or proceeds toward repairing the defect first, and the unit owner approval threshold for an association suit rose from a majority to at least 65%. Separately, the Act adds for-sale multifamily condominium projects to the permits. A local government must decide within 90 days on developments where at least half the residential units are affordable housing, which is a condition of that government's access to state affordable housing money. The Multifamily Construction Incentive Program has been open to builders for roughly 7 months. How many have recorded a notice of election, and whether any condominium project has broken ground under its terms, is not something the public record answers yet. The nearest thing to a forecast came from Ted Leite, chief executive of the Colorado Association of Home Builders, who told Summit Daily News in August 2025 that "I think it's probably going to be slow to adopt. It could still take several years before we see this kind of production ramp up again. Because most claims arrive near the end of a 6-year window that can stretch to 8, Leite said in the same interview that it could be 6 to 8 years before less litigation shows up in what builders pay for insurance. Colorado's 2026 housing legislation went in a different direction. The measures enacted this year, House Bill 26-1001 and Senate Bill 26-1, work on land use and finance, requiring administrative approval of housing on qualifying parcels of 5 acres or less, owned by school districts, public colleges, housing authorities, transit districts, or affordable housing nonprofits, beginning at the end of 2027, and widening what counties and municipalities may do with property and tax revenue for workforce housing. Kathy Eckert, a homeowner who litigated defects in her own Fraser house and pressed for consumer protections in the 2025 bill, told Summit Daily she is reassured by some of the new law's provisions, among them the requirement for third-party inspections, and gave the plainest available summary of where all of this stands. "We're not going to know the impact until it's really implemented." The legislature stopped short of a verdict in its own findings, which state that current construction litigation laws are often cited as a contributing factor to the high cost of construction and a deterrent for developers to pursue condominium projects. Outside the Capitol, the argument mostly runs through insurance. The Common Sense Institute's 2023 report put insurance at 5.5% of hard costs on a condominium project, and its summary of findings set that against the 1.1 to 1.65% it recorded for multifamily rental projects, a gap the report called more than 233%. Eric Richter, an insurance wholesaler who places residential construction coverage in Colorado and other states, told The Sun that carriers say there's just too much risk and that there is a marketplace for it, but it is much more difficult in this state than, I'd say, 48 other states in the country. Much of the public argument was staked out in the run-up to the 2024 session before the 2025 law passed, and it put the weight in several different places. Polis told The Sun in October 2023 that the bigger problem is a lot of areas aren't allowing these units to be built at all, and said the conversation belongs on permitting and land use. HUD reached for a similar explanation of the suburban pattern, citing that ready supply of developable land. Representative Stephen Woodrow, a Denver Democrat, told the paper the same month that other states with comparable or looser defect laws managed to build condominiums, calling the liability explanation a convenient distraction. Mike Wiseman, then an Aurora Democrat in the State House and now a state senator, said in the same report that narrowing the right to sue would deliver more profits for the builders, adding, "What you will not necessarily see is more housing." Polis's own position moved with the debate. He called for construction liability reform in his 2025 State of the State address, and on signing the 2025 Act, he said it will lead to thousands of new condos being built across our state. Attorneys who represent homeowners describe the mechanism from the other end. Chad Johnson, who sues builders on behalf of owners, told The Sun that the building industry could easily put me out of a job. All they have to do is not be negligent. David McLean, who represents developers in the same cases, put the builder side of it to the paper. There is no perfect construction. If you spend $5,000 or $10,000 per home looking for problems, you'll find them. Colorado's construction defect statutes arrived in pieces across four sessions, and the pieces are older than most of the housing debate that now surrounds them. That chronology, along with the state's own account of what followed in the insurance market, is set out in a January 2024 memorandum from the General Assembly's nonpartisan Legislative Council staff. The framework begins in 2001, when House Bill 1166 created the Construction Defect Action Reform Act. It separated defect suits over real property from ordinary negligence actions, required a claimant to file and serve a list of the property's defects within 60 days of commencing an action, and established the original rules for actions brought on behalf of unit owners by their associations. 2 years later, House Bill 31161 added the notice of claim process still in force today, under which an owner must notify the construction professional at least 75 days before filing, supply a list of the alleged defects, and allow an inspection and an offer to remedy. The same act capped the combined treble damages and attorney fees available against a construction professional at $250,000 in any action, defined who counts as a construction professional, and extended the statute's reach to commercial construction. It was written after a run of class action awards the construction industry argued were excessive. The enactment the building industry points to first came in 2007. House Bill 71338, the Homeowner Protection Act of 2007, made void as against public policy any express waiver of, or limitation on, the rights, remedies, and damages. Colorado law gives residential owners in a construction defect action, along with any limit on their ability to enforce those rights inside the applicable limitation or repose period. A waiver contained in a written settlement reached after a claim has accrued still stands. The act took effect on passage and applied to actions filed from that day forward. 19 years later, it is still the provision builder's name when asked why they stopped putting up condominiums. 3 years after that, House Bill 101394 reached the insurance side of the question, directing courts to presume that a construction professional's work resulting in property damage is an accident unless the damage was expected and intended, to construe a policy in favor of coverage where a provision that grants coverage conflicts with one that excludes or limits it, and to put on the insurer the burden of showing that a policy bars a claim. Legislative Council staff reports that a representative of the Colorado Department of Regulatory Agencies said in 2015 that several insurers discontinued commercial general liability coverage because of that bill, while noting that there is no official record of it, and that a later inquiry with the department, current as of that January 2024 memo, found no carriers in the market for the product at all. By 2017, the legislature had heard the builder's argument often enough to act on it. House Bill 171279 required an association's executive board to notify every unit owner and the builder before starting a defect action, to call a meeting at which both sides present their case and the builder may offer to remedy the defect, and to win the approval of a majority of unit owners after detailed disclosure of what the suit would cost them. Legislative Council staff wrote that the bill was intended to address the perceived chilling effect on certain types of residential development from fear of construction defects, litigation initiated by HOA boards by raising the threshold for initiating an action. That same year, the Colorado Supreme Court decided Voligio at Inverness Residential Condominium Association versus Metropolitan Homes, upholding a developer's arbitration provision against unilateral amendment by the association. Construction did not recover to anything near its earlier level. Using Zonda's quarterly survey of the 8-county metro area, the Colorado Sun reported in October 2023 that Denver area condominium construction ran about 600 new units a year from 2018 through 2022, roughly 80% below the 3,000 a year that went up between 2002 and 2006. The Common Sense Institute put annual condominium starts at an average of 3,264 between 2002 and 2008 and 574 across the years that followed, and described the 850-a-year average since 2018 as a slight recovery that still sat far under the pre-crisis level. Legislative Council staff offered a structural reason for the lag, writing that insurance markets are often not immediately responsive to these kinds of policy changes, and adding that the 2017 changes may not have moved the liability insurance market appreciably. The subject came back in 2024 with Senate Bill 24106, which would have given a construction professional a right to remedy a claim by performing the repair work, added forms of binding alternative dispute resolution, and required the written consent of at least 60% of unit owners before an association could bring a claim. It did not pass, and the version that reached the statute books was House Bill 251272 the following year. And now, Kim's perspective. Every regulation carries a cost, and someone always pays it. In Colorado, the people paying for this one are the young families who would have bought a small condominium as their first home, and nobody ever asked them. Many of them were children when these statutes were written, and they inherited a market with the bottom rung sawed off. A law deserves to be judged by what it actually builds, and for nearly two decades, this one has built very little for a first-time buyer. When we hand our elected representatives the power to protect us, we should insist they tell us who will carry the cost of the protection. For the full article with sources and links, visit kimmonson.com. This has been a Kim Monson, Colorado News Briefing.